They perish, they perish now. Yet Jesus to save them has died. God paid them the debt that we owe them. Those souls who in darkness abide.
The mission trail is on the air. It is my happy privilege to introduce to you the Mission Trail with your speaker, Brother Willie C. Murphy of Guthrie, Oklahoma. Please pray that his ministry may be a blessing to all who hear him. And let us remember the words of the Master as recorded in John 4 and 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
They're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. Go pay them the debt that we owe them, those souls who in darkness abide.
And now, here is Brother Murphy.
Thank you, Brother Leslie. Friends, it's a real pleasure to be coming your way once again by means of radio. We have for you some gems of truth, and it is our sincere wish that you may grow and prosper in the things of the Lord. This is Willie Murphy speaking. Listen now to this poem. Would I be called a Christian if everybody knew my secret thought and feelings and everything I do? Oh, could they seek the likeness of Christ in me each day? Oh, could they hear him speaking in every word I say? Would I be called a Christian if anyone could know that I am fond of places where Jesus would not go? Oh, could they hear him echo in every song I sing, in eating, drinking, dressing? Could they see Christ, my King? Would I be called a Christian if, judged by what I read, by all my recreation and every thought and deed, could it be counted Christ-like as I now work and pray, unselfish, kind, and forgiving to others every day? Select by Evelyn Gibson. Thank you, Sister Evelyn, for the selection of that poem, which is heart-searching. I hope it will be an inspiration to others. Here now is the scripture reading for today. For the Lord will not cast off forever. For though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. Lamentations 3:31-33. I believe there's enough in these verses to cover the broadcast for 2 or 3 weeks. So if the Lord continues to lead in that direction, I may use this text for several times. But let us look into this further to see what we may be able to get for our welfare. I like to point out that we are in an earthly body. We're subject to pain, affliction, disappointments, heartache, trouble, perplexity, sickness, yes, discouragement, and sorrow, which is so common to mankind. But so often we're made to feel and think that our sorrow is greater than that of all others. Listen to this verse from Lamentations 1:12. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Now, is that not typical of all mankind? They feel that their sorrow is the greatest of all. But if we can learn how to turn our sorrow into stepping stones, I believe we can be a blessing to others. However, there's one thing we must remember. God has let our lives be filled with sorrow and disappointments that the fragrance of his grace may shine out to others. We must have faith in him to believe he has allowed these things to come for a purpose. Here's a poem which I used to hear an aged minister say. You may also enjoy it. I walked a mile with mirth. She chattered all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and ne'er a word said she. But oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. So first, let me point out some don'ts. There are 7. By following these, it may help you to steer clear of a bypath from which you may never return. In other words, the dead-end streets. You see, some people so mull and pine away in their sorrow that their usefulness is greatly hampered, while others use their sorrow to become even more useful. 1. Don't think your case unique. With death so prevalent in the land, it is bound to come your way. You should think it not unusual, and it should not be a surprise. All have had to face it except Enoch and Elijah. Even Christ went through the disappointing pains of having one of his disciples betray him. Jesus died in sorrow with a broken heart, and he knew what it was for God to turn his face away and his suffering for the sins of the world. Every day, sorrow and death comes to someone. Your home will be no exception. This is decreed by the will of God. Therefore, you should not think your case is an isolated one. Listen to this scripture. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Here's another scripture which has been a great comfort to me. In 1 Peter 5:9-10 we read, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." So we see then that troubles are bound to come. Our major concern should be, what are we going to do with the troubles and sorrows? They often serve to either make or break a person. Just remember, yours are not unique, for others have gone through deep waters of like sorrows. Here's another thing to watch. 2. Don't give yourself to self-pity. Altogether too often, one is tempted to pity themselves when passing through a trial or a time of sorrow. And then that leads to their seeking the pity of others. It is true that you may need the sympathy and understanding of another, but please do not continue with the virus of self-pity. It is like a wound which has become infested. It takes much longer for an infested wound to heal than it does one which is open and is thoroughly cleansed. So if you should find yourself seeking the pity of others, ask the Lord to purge out your own self-pity and give you grace to overcome the sorrow and burdens which you have. Then, too, how are you going to be able to help others in sorrow unless you have found the comfort of Christ which fills your own heart? Listen to this writing of the Apostle Paul from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Then, too, we should remember that those who have been of outstanding use for God have often been those which have endured either great trials or persecution. So let me emphasize once again, don't give yourself to self-pity. 3. Don't give yourself to excessive grief. Often, when one has deep sorrow because of the loss of a loved one, it seems difficult for them to rise above it. A brother minister once told me the way he felt about leaving the body of his dear wife in the cemetery after her death. It seems as if he felt he was deserting her and unjustly leaving her behind. Now, we know this accusation is unjust and unfair. Excessive grief brings injury to the body and upsets one's usefulness for the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verses 13 and 14, we find these words, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Friends, would it not be better to take new courage with faith and hope in God as we wait for the fulfillment of His promises concerning the resurrection of those who sleep in Christ? Indeed, it would be. I am sure of this. There are four more don'ts to be observed if we would overcome our sorrow, but we don't have time for them today. Be with us again on the broadcast next week as we pick up right where we've left off now. Then, of course, after we cover the don'ts, we want to look on the constructive side of sorrow and suffering. Be sure to hear the broadcast next week. And may I take just a few moments to tell you that this broadcast has been brought your way today by the Mission Trail of Guthrie, Oklahoma. If you'd like a printed copy, free of charge, be sure to let us know. In fact, let us add your name to our weekly mailing list without cost or obligation to you. We're trusting God by faith to move upon the hearts of those who have a love for the truth to help us keep the word going forth over the air and through the mail. We do need your cooperation. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, bless each one who hears the broadcast today. And for those who are passing through sorrow and trouble, we pray a special blessing may come their way. Comfort their hearts as only the grace of God can do. And to Thee we'll give the praise through Christ our Lord. Amen. Listen out to this song entitled, "What Will It Be to Be There?" This is congregational singing. We hope you enjoy.
In the city of love, in that land far above, where the saints are immortal and fair, are uniting their voices in anthems of love. Oh, what will it be to be there? Glory, glory,
with us again next Sunday at this same time on this same station for another broadcast. Until then, this is Willie Murphy saying may God's richest blessings be with each of you and a very cheerful goodbye.